Welcome to another opportunity to look into the Word of God. You know, the fact is, wherever we open the Bible, wherever we begin to read, it is the Word of God, and it is super important, and may this study today, too, be a great blessing in your life. Presently, we began to look in our last couple of studies at Jeremiah 34. Jeremiah 34. Let's look again at verse 18. And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they have made before me, when they cut the calf in two and passed between the parts thereof. Now, we just barely began to touch upon that a little bit. God is teaching something here. He is setting this up and writing extensively about it here in this chapter in order to teach us something. And that's our role, is to pray to God for wisdom that we might know what He is really teaching us. God is focusing on this time of great tribulation, because they were in the time of great tribulation in their day, as a time of testing. And the first thing that we notice is that God is focusing on the fact that they are making their own set of rules. This is characteristic of anybody at all who is trusting in any way, in the slightest little bit, in his own obedience to do the will of God, or in trusting in any way in the fact that I have made a contribution toward my salvation in any way. In other words, if it is the smoking furnace, we looked at this, I think, just briefly back in Genesis 15. If it is the smoking furnace and the burning lamp that pass between, that's the Lord Jesus. That's the only way that we can be right with God, in that all of our sins had to be paid for by the Lord Jesus. But in Isaiah 28, God speaks directly about this, where He says in Isaiah 28, He calls this a covenant with death, a covenant with death that they had made. He said in verse 15 of Isaiah 28, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are at agreement. In other words, we are going to keep the law, and so we will meet all the demands of God, so that hell is not a problem. Hell is not a problem. We are safe and secure because we will keep the law. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. This is the covenant that is, theologians call it a covenant of works. In other words, I will do it in order to make my salvation possible. It depends on me. And that is what Israel was doing here at this end, as they were trusting in what they would do in order to get right with God. Verse 16 goes on of Isaiah 28, therefore thus says Jehovah, or the Lord Jehovah, behold, I will lay on Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious corner, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. That stone, that precious corner is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is what makes possible a covenant. He is the lamp that came through, the burning lamp. He endured the wrath of God on our behalf in order to be a guarantor for the fact that God would bless those who were trying to do His will. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and so on. And He says in verse 18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. In other words, all your good works, all your desire, we will do it, will be of no avail. It just will not work. And of course, as we have the rest of the Bible, we know that even if we commit the slightest sin, it's as if we have disobeyed the whole law of God. And so you can only have a covenant that will keep us out of hell if Christ is the fulfillment, the guarantor, that the law would be kept. And now this is the situation that we're reading about here in Jeremiah 34. Now, I made a reference for a moment to Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. And I said that this hour is an hour of temptation, and a temptation is a test. Anytime we're being tempted to sin, we're being tested. But let's again get one more verse into our thinking as we're looking at that. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, which we're quite familiar with. Most people who claim to be believers are quite familiar with it because we get a lot of encouragement from it. It says, therefore hath no temptation or test, that word temptation is test, hath taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but with the temptation also will make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Wonder what that way of escape is. That this is parallel language to what we read in Revelation chapter 3. Verse 10, where it talks about, I will keep you from the hour of testing. Here it says, I will provide a way of escape. You know, we find a big clue when we look at a test that God put on Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was a child of God. But remember that after he was healed of his illness and God gave him 15 more years of life, then remember that the emissaries of Babylon came to look at the kingdom, and he, in all of his pride, taking his eyes off Christ, look at me, look at me, he showed them everything. And then later on, that prophet came to him and said, oh, Hezekiah, that was bad, bad. Well, God shows us in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, why he failed the test. He was being tested, and God did not make a way of escape. God did not keep him from it. What happened? 2 Chronicles chapter 32, we read in verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. This is really saying a mouthful, so to speak, that God would leave a true believer. Because what does the Bible say? That when we're a child of God, we are indwelt by the Father and by Christ and by the Holy Spirit. Not only have we been given a brand new resurrected soul in which we never want to sin, but God himself indwells us. And that's the way of escape. So that whenever a test comes along, it's not a test for the true believer, because he has a natural inclination, given the fact that he has been given a new resurrected soul and given the fact that God indwells him. He has a natural inclination, or a new spiritual inclination would be better said, to simply obey. And if you simply are given a law and you obey it, you're not being tested. That's just, well, what else is new? God commands me to do this, so I better do it. But if you're not a child of God, if you claim to be a child of God, and then God commands you to do something, you do not have a new resurrected soul, God does not indwell you, and everything in your body and in your soul wants the sin. That's our nature, that we want to sin. And so it becomes an enormous test, an enormous temptation to us. That's why when we read the Lord's Prayer, deliver me from, bring me not into temptation, into testing, but deliver me from evil. That's a prayer for salvation, because the only time that we can be delivered or be not brought into temptation to fall into sin is if we have become a true believer, because then with the test God gives the way of escape, namely that He indwells you, and you don't want to do that. You are happiest when you're doing it God's way. And so it is not a test. But if you're not a true believer, and yet you claim to be a true believer, every opportunity to be like the world and still appear to be decent and moral is a great big test. And here God is showing that here's Hezekiah that is a true believer. He's indwelt by God. God says, I left him. I left him. We don't read about that anywhere in the Bible, about anybody, any true believer. God is establishing a principle here that God left him, and therefore he failed the test. When the people, the ambassage came from Babylon, he was full of pride and full of ego. Look how great our country is. Look at all the gold we have. He showed them everything. It was all self-pride, total sin. And it is because God left him. If God had been with him, he would have become uneasy immediately when they came. And he would have been very careful not to show off all his the mighty things, because all of that eventually helped to develop the desire of Babylon someday to come and destroy Jerusalem. And maybe, this was all part of God's plan, so that eventually Babylon would be brought by God in against Jerusalem to destroy it, as God used them in the year 587 BC. You know, God's plans are very mysterious, and a lot of times it looks like something is going the wrong way, and yet that's exactly the way God wants it to go, so that finally it'll come and His final will be done. Just like when Joseph was sold by his brothers, that was the most callous and terrible thing they could have done, to sell their 17-year-old brother Joseph as a slave. And yet God was setting it all up so that eventually Joseph would be the great man of Egypt, and all that goes along with the whole story of Joseph. But that's the way God's plans work. A lot of times we'd like to go from here to there, and God says, oh, no. You go here, like, or you go out right here, and then finally you get there. God has a master plan, and that's why we are always safe if we lean back on God and says, oh, Lord, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know what's happening, but I know You're in charge, and, oh, Lord, just help me to be faithful. Just help me to be faithful at this time. Well, okay, so we're seeing that God is emphasizing these truths about mankind making their own laws, making their own covenant, which will end in total disaster. We've tied that into this time of great tribulation. This is going on in the nation of Judah at the time they're under great tribulation. It identifies with the statement that we saw in Revelation chapter 3, where it said that in that hour there will be, I will keep you from that hour of temptation or testing. And we know now how he does that. He does that by making us his children. So when we came to the end of the church age, this was a major test for those who were not saved. It was not a big test for the true believers. They already have a great desire. I want to do the will of God. And that's a strange thing we have to do, that we have to leave our churches, and you're not going to leave your church in 5 minutes because you begin to understand that. But you are going to be deeply concerned, and you'll be searching the Word and listening for true explanations and so on. And this did occupy our time for quite a few years before we could finally make sure that we knew what God's will was. But finally, it came through clear. God's will is get out. And then we got out. We got out. And that was, and it was not a temptation to remain in, even though we had to leave friends and so on. But we realized, no, God is way more important than friends that we have, or that what is comfortable for us. We want to do it God's way. And so a lot of people got out. Now, like I've said before, a lot of people got out thinking that proved, now I'm a child of God. Well, it may or may not, because the fact is there's lots of people in the churches at any time in history who fretted under the fact of being under spiritual authority of someone, like the elders and deacons had been placed over them. And so when they got the good news, we can go out and are commanded to go out. Oh, that's wonderful. I can come out from under that authority. I can be my own man wherever I want to be. And at the same time, they could deceive themselves into thinking, and that's a proof that I really love the Lord, because I came out in obedience to that command, and yet it doesn't prove that at all necessarily. And so God is not finished with his testing. So he brings the next test. And at the same time, it also gives them possibly, and definitely, if they are not a child of God, a false assurance. Well, I must be a child of God, because look how I agree with all of this. And I can see those things in the Bible. And so, again, here is an individual who's not a child of God, and he has already come out of the church. I'm a child of God. Why, I just went right along with those kind of commands. But God isn't finished yet. The time of the great tribulation is a time of testing. I will keep you from the hour of testing. That means all through whatever the testing may be. And so now in another situation, that is what Jeremiah chapter 34 is talking about. Namely, this matter of how do we relate to our fellow man? How do we relate to our fellow man? Now, this is what Israel had, and in our next study, we will see how that identifies with us. But back in Leviticus chapter 19, God had said very specifically in verse 18, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am Jehovah. Now, that meant that when God gave the command that at the end of 7 years they were to set their Hebrew, these were brothers in the same church, if you will, the nation of Israel, they were not to take advantage of that situation, as they did throughout the history of Israel. And that's proven also by what we read in Romans chapter 9. They were really not serving God at all. They had changed the law. But according to this law, if the law said at the end of 7 years you're to set them free in their love for their fellow Hebrew, and they're wanting the very best for them, love your neighbor as yourself, they should set them free, right? They should set them free. And so God is demonstrating to them at that time, as they first look at that law, for some strange reason, this law became really important. God laid it on their hearts, and so they decided to set all their Hebrew slaves free, and then they turned right around and contradicted what they had done and made them slaves again, so that it was very, very pointedly seen that they were not obeying the law of God. Because if they truly were keeping the covenant with God as the guarantor, then they would have let them free, and that was the end of the matter. That was the end of the matter. Now, in our next study, we're going to tie that right into what's happening in our day, as God has set another big test up for this time of great tribulation.